It's my pleasure to welcome Donald Lee Shepherd. He's the author of The Dividends of Decency. Thank you so much for joining us today, Donald.
Stacey, I'm delighted to have the honor to be on your show.
Perfect. So let's talk about your book, The Dividends of Decency. You're talking about the White House Code of Conduct and why actions matter more than words. Tell us more.
Well, it's really, just as it says, you know, there's so many business organizations, for example, that have significant codes of conduct. I can think of Enron, I can think of Volkswagen, I think of Boston Scientific, I can go on, that they're just a bunch of words. They're 60 pages of nothing. It's what you do, it's how you lead that really is the factor. How you are as a leader, a role model, and demonstrating the values that should be exhibited in your organization. So it's really actions as opposed to words. Is that clear? Did I answer the question properly?
Sure. So you're talking about different businesses that have made horrible choices, and it sometimes, you know, disastrously so. In the case of Enron, many, many people were hurt by their duplicity and their illegal actions. The same thing with Volkswagen. They really fudged the numbers and they presented lies to the American people, really international customers as well. And so what are the examples that you would give of the same type of actions from the Trump administration?
Well, literally a lack of honesty, in my view, a lack of creation of trust or fairness, I think missing a service in the best interest of all people, consistency, openness. It's that a leader lives with integrity and ethics. It's not something you borrow or occasionally or adopt part-time. And that's, in my view, what's missing in the White House is a lack of integrity and ethics.
Sure. So, but of course, listeners would want to know what specifically you're talking about when you say a lack of integrity and a lack of ethics. What specific actions has the president taken with signing legislation into law, or actions he's taken towards the Senate or Congress, or things that his administration has done that have specifically been, you said, dishonest, lacking candor, et cetera?
Well, when I speak, I will answer you, I promise. I'll answer your question. But I'm not talking about policy as much as I am dealing with character and leadership skills. But I'll give you an example from my viewpoint. Now, I'm not the expert that you are. But in my view, the tax cut bill, to me, was dishonestly presented as a major boon to middle-income people in America, when in fact, 70 or 80% of the benefit went to the rich, the top 1%, and large corporations. It was misrepresented as being a good thing for all people, when in fact it wasn't. Now, again, you asked me a specific, Stacey, and only to be fair, I responded with one, but that's an example of not being honest or clear or fair.
So I'm of the understanding, based on what you've said, that you are taking that information from what has been put forward in the media about the tax bill. Now, specifically speaking, the Office of Management and Budget has reported back that over 80% of Americans have received benefit from the tax bill, which is kind of outrageous considering that 47 to 50 million Americans don't actually pay the income tax that is affected by the lowering of the rates. So everyone was touched in some way, save, you know, a little less than 20% of Americans. And those Americans had much more minimal exposures. But then there's the business side where we're now up into the hundreds of businesses that have given bonuses, expansions in pay and benefits, raises, et cetera, to their employees. So I think we probably just disagree on what has actually happened in response to the tax bill and who was affected by it. If you don't pay very much tax, you're not going to have as huge of a tax cut as someone who pays more. That's just logically speaking how percentages work. If you lower a percentage, you have to actually have paid into that to experience the savings. But you also talk in the book You talk about the critical connection between principles and profitability.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to cover that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And by the way, the issue on the tax bill isn't the percentage of people that were affected by it. It's that the percentage of people that got the vast majority of the benefit from it. And by the way, I want to make this point as we wander through. I'm speaking from the standpoint of being a Republican, conservative Republican, fiscally conservative, successful businessman in the 1%, and I found that distortion. Anyway, I won't go deep into it. I'm not speaking from a standpoint of being a liberal or left-winger. I've always voted Republican and as a conservative, but I'm trying to answer your questions specifically. The distinction, what I'm meaning by the connection between principles and profitability is this. Most, I'd like to say all, but I'll just use the term most because I don't have data. Most companies work towards not profit, but of involving their various constituencies, employees, associates, customers, clients, community. When you have everyone be a winner in the process of building a business, profits follow. And that's what that means, is that successful companies don't have profits as the first goal. Everyone knows, and I've built my own business, you have to make money and you have to grow. And everybody recognizes it, but that's not the goal. The goal is to involve people, satisfy people, have them all behind the mission and whatever. And when you have that, the profits follow. That's the connection that I'm referring to there. Let me stop because I know we don't have that much time.
Well, no, we're good on time. I agree with you that your principles form the basis by which you can then, you know, erect a company there are different structures within your company that support or hinder profitability. And so you want to have principles and you want to be able to operate within those. So I wonder if you feel it's a principle that President Trump is answering, that he actually campaigned on a number of issues, that he would actually take meaningful action in a number of areas, and that the actions that we're seeing him take as the president, actually they're running alongside that list of things he said he would do on the campaign trail. Do you see that at all?
Yes. I'm not going to argue with you on all of those, of course, because it sounds like he's honoring a lot of promises. Whether their policies that benefit the majority of Americans or all of America is another issue. Whether he's involved the various constituencies, as opposed to, please don't take this wrong, as opposed to a partisan divide that seems to be growing wider, that would be the issue for me in terms of principles versus profitability. Honoring so-called promises. Not all the promises that he made any sense, by the way, like building a wall. But you're right. I think
it makes sense. Other nations have walls at their borders to protect their sovereignty. Mexico has a wall along their southern border. Hungary has a wall to lessen migration, even though they're participants in the EU. There are a number of nations, like a lot of them, like literally dozens of nations that have functioning border walls that prevent illegal entry into their country. And we actually have border fencing and a little bit of wall in certain instances along our border. And then we have a huge area that is not protected, and that is where the majority of the crossings occur, which it's a negative impact on Americans, $134 billion a year that we spend on illegal immigration. So I, while you may not agree that we need to build a wall, the idea that we need to protect our national sovereignty, if you are standing on the right side of the political aisle, that should be something that you agree with: national sovereignty, adherence to the Constitution, adherence to the laws that are currently passed, that it is illegal to enter the country without first going through our immigration processes, like that.
Absolutely. And by the way, you would find that we agree much more than we disagree.
Sure. I'm open to your ideas, whether we agree or not. I'm open to hearing what you have to say, and definitely hearing about the book, too.
One more step. $25 billion to have we already have walls or fences or whatever where there are critical areas. The description of having a wall to keep out the drug dealers and the murderers and the rapists and all the rest of whatever, the criminals, the wall's not going to do that, Stacey. It's going to be that people get in with a visa by plane, by train, by boat, in large numbers. So I would say, yes, there's nothing wrong with having a greater budget for border security, but I would just think, you just analyze where it's best spent. Is it on more Border Patrol agents? Is it on different electronic sensing? I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. It's just that, to me, it seems like an inordinate expense that could be better used to control our borders and to manage the immigration laws we currently have. We're not in disagreement. So, again, it may be just a small point. I just don't think making a big deal out of finding $25 billion to have a border across the entire entire border makes any sense. But, again, that isn't the issue that you and I are really talking about.
Well, I would just say, numerically speaking, just on the most basic level, 130, let's just say it's 130 even, $130 billion per year, and the wall costs, let's say instead of $25 billion, it costs $30 billion, and it costs that one time. Ongoing maintenance, et cetera, would be taken out of the current Immigration and Customs Enforcement budget. So, technically speaking, the wall pays for itself in less than 1 year if there's a corresponding reduction in illegal entries. Now, when you talk about the visa overstays, the majority of the visa overstays are not engaging in the kind of criminal behavior that the president has been so castigated for mentioning, the rape, the kidnapping, murder, drunk driving, offenses that result in them being incarcerated in federal prisons, which costs American taxpayers an exorbitant amount of money. So when we talk about the cost of the wall, I'm all for savings. I definitely think the government is too large. They need to cut costs. But when it comes to things that are constitutionally mandated, like maintaining the border, I would rather see them spend the $30 billion on that to save some of the $130 billion that we're spending on illegal immigration every year as taxpayers. And it not just pays for itself, it yields other dividends, because as Americans, we actually have huge amounts of our social services that are diverted away from citizens to people who are here illegally. And, you know, God bless them, because they're coming here because this is a great place to live. But we can't take all 6 billion people who would prefer to live in America. You know, the country just can't sustain it. And the best thing for us to do is, if we have a good policy in place that discourages illegal immigration and we have a sealed border, not a porous one, then people are encouraged to make their own countries better, to stay in their own countries and work within the strictures there to achieve the same kind of success we've had here in this country, which is buttressed by the fact that our USAID agency also spends billions of dollars a year sending money, U.S. taxpayer dollars, out to these countries to help them along that pathway.
I would say to you, as I listen to you and your argument and as you presented it, makes total sense. So I can't accept that. I don't really know where the numbers come from, of $135 million, whether the border wall eliminates that cost. There's so many variables. If in fact, $30 billion building a wall eliminated all those costs and solved all those problems, my goodness, we should be cheering and yelling at the borders as they build it. I don't have any data or information
Yeah, I can understand, especially if you're hearing this for the first time. I would just say the information that I'm sharing with you is from Numbers USA. They pull all of their information from government databases that cover the expenditures that taxpayers make on a yearly basis for illegal immigration. And it's broken down by state. So some states have much higher costs than others. And I agree with you that people cheer when they think $30 billion on the wall could save up to $130 billion on, you know, costs spent per year on illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it wouldn't be perfect. I don't think it would wipe out $130 billion in spending, but we would definitely experience savings. And one of the things I think is so important about this, because we're having this conversation, and you're a conservative Republican, but you're not in favor of the wall. I'm a conservative Republican. I am in favor of it. But the conversation that we're having, because we're controlling our emotions and just discussing, you know, the fours and the cons, means that we can each leave the conversation with more to think about. You've certainly given me a lot to think about from your perspective, and also look into it a little more and figure out, is it accurate? Is it correct? Is this what would most probably happen? You actually had one more point here that I wanted to cover, and just this is our darn it. There's the music.
You
can have the last word. Absolutely.
It's simple. I did a quick research in your background, and you're a person of integrity and honor, and your history reads that. So I, frankly, am delighted to hear your points of view, and I know they're taken with full research and so on. So I would just tell you, my position is obviously based on some ignorance, and so please understand it that way. I respect your views. There's nothing to be loud or obnoxious about. It's yes, I have strong views about the president's.
I respect yours. Thank you so much. It's Donald Lee Shepherd. The book is The Dividends of Decency. I think it's a fantastic read, and you guys would love it. And we'll be right back with more. Thank you, sir.